to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Out of Amplified Bible. Let me just give you this just real quick here. Here's what it says. And this is Ephesians 1:19. And so that you can know and understand what is, listen to how it explains this. So you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us. Did you hear all of those adjectives trying to tell us about the power of God? It was great. It was immense. It was immeasurable. Let me just ask you a question. Do you think it took all of that to get Lazarus up? Do you think it took all of that to get the widow of Nain's son off the coffin? Do you think it took that for us to get Jairus' daughter healed? Jesus just went in there and said, rise, get up. All of those came up just like this. But when it comes to resurrecting Jesus from the dead, the Bible said it took immense power, it took measureless power, and God said, when I took Him up, I'm just helping y'all right now. When Jesus was being resurrected, He was expunging your sentence. How many of y'all have ever been in jail? Okay, hands down. I'm going to ask this one more time. Y'all better get honest this time. How many of y'all have ever been in jail besides me? Yeah, it wasn't fun in jail. I don't know if y'all know anything about going to jail, but when you go to jail as a teenager, they will keep your record. And when you get older, it can stay on your record. I don't know if y'all have ever done this before, but you go to try to buy a gun or something, and them say, well, let's just do a little check on you. And they'll say, well, you got a record. You're thinking, what did I do? Well, you got a record. They don't know what it is, but there's a record. Now, sometimes you can go get it expunged. Like if you were in jail and they acquitted you, or you were in jail and they let you go and they didn't find you or they couldn't keep you, then you can go to a lawyer, they can go to a judge, and they can expunge it, take it off like you've never done it before. So I'm going to give you a word right now. One of the things that Jesus did for you is He destroyed the works of the devil. He expunged your yesterday. He came along and said, you're not guilty. And not only you're not guilty, I'm taking it off your record. Everything that was behind you to Adam, I'll take off your record. That's what it means to destroy the works of the enemy. When God raised Jesus, it took a lot of power to get all that off. Because He wasn't just doing it for the few people on the earth at that time. He was doing it for me and you. He was doing it for our kids and grandkids. He was doing it for generations, pulling sin off of everybody. 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came and His purpose was to destroy the works of the enemy. And I want to read that verse. I'm kind of preaching over what I've already preached to you, but it's going to be what we need this morning, Pastor Charlie. This is 1 John 3:8. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one, for the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. Listen to this. This is the reason the Son of God was manifested, became visible, to undo. How many of y'all got some stuff need undone? To undo, destroy, loosen, dissolve the works that the devil has done. So destroy is in there with loosen, with untie, with dissolve. It's all in there. So it doesn't mean that the devil was totally destroyed. But can I help you right now? Your past and your issues and your sin was done away with. That word destroy means dissolve. And here's one of the truths I like of the word dissolve. The word dissolve there means to melt something down to a liquid. Steve, you got to like this one. You work with metal and know what I'm talking about. It's to melt something down to a liquid and then boil the liquid to a vapor that when it's gone, there's no evidence that it ever existed. I don't know if anybody needs that this morning, but some of us do. We need some of that grace of God that comes in our heart. We need some of that love of God this morning that we've been singing about to come in. And not just as we know salvation, He's going to take your sin, but you're going to be left with all your junk and your baggage. But why don't we look at it this way? The power of God that's working this morning for us is one that melts it down to a liquid, boils it to a vapor, that there's nothing left, and not even a hint that it was ever there. I need that done over sickness. Amen? We need that done over sin. We need that done over attitude. We need it done over a lot of things. Let me give you one more truth, and this is one that I just kind of want you to hold on to this morning, and we may preach later. I don't know if we will or not, but let me just say this to you. The Word of God is the power of God into salvation. And here's your truth. The same power that was in the event, say resurrection. Okay, in the death, burial, and resurrection, the same power that was in the event is in the Word. The same power that was in the event is in the message. Stay with me. The same power, the gospel is the power of God. The same power that was in the event is in the message. Well, how's that going to help me? I'm going to tell you right now. If I can speak the message of the event in my home, then I can have the same power in my home through my confession as it took in the event. In other words, when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Bible says you got to make a profession of faith, right? You got to declare something. Can I help you right now? When you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, Lord, I pray that you would let all this sin go off of me. Let me tell you right now, that message that you speak at that moment is just as powerful as God's event in the death, burial, and resurrection. It has the same power in it. Let me back and say it another way. Do you realize that when you got born again, you really did get born again, and your words had the same power in them for your salvation as God bestowed and manifested in the death, burial, and resurrection? How about when we walk in our home that we understand that the message carries the same power as the event, then maybe I'm going to pray over my wife and believe the same power that it took for Jesus to be resurrected from the dead is toward us. And as I declare it over her, it's the same power that was in the event. Oh, you see, right now the devil has already come up and said this. Yeah, you're going to say that, and what if it doesn't work? Let me give you something to tell the devil. What if it does? This isn't deep. What if it does? Because he's always going to tell you what if it doesn't. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? We're going to get together. I know Lisa and Alan have done this before. I mean, I hadn't seen them do it, but I know them well enough to know that there have been a time or two sitting at their table that they just say, we got to agree for God to do something. Maybe last week, I don't know, but I'm just saying that we get to that point and we say, we got to pray about this. We up against it, we got to pray about it. Jimmy Gerald up against, you know, a conclusion that the doctors have given over his physical body. I'm telling you right now, when he's praying about that and bringing that to an issue, we've got to make up our minds that the prayers that we're praying at that moment, the prayers we're praying at that moment have the same power as the event itself. And the enemy is always going to come and say, what if it doesn't work? And our resolve is, what if it does? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'd rather die with Jesus on my lips. I mean, I'm just saying, I'd rather die and go to heaven confessing that I'm healed and the anointing of God is on my life as I would doing something different than that. Amen? Whether it's my business or whatever it is, I want to make sure I keep that in my mind. The devil does not want you to use the Word of God. He doesn't want you to get a hold of that, and we're going to pray for people right now because we are going to get a hold of it. The works have been destroyed. There's some stuff right now that if you can receive it, has already been done by Christ. When you come to get born again, He's not trying to figure out how to save you. He's already done that. He's trying to get you to figure out that you are saved. Amen? That you can repent and you can come to Christ. I want you to stand with me just to take a different position. I'm going to need a couple men to help me in just a moment. And we're going to pray for some folk today. But I want us to at least process a little of this in our mind. You do know that the devil knows more about his defeat than you do, right? That's why he loves for us to have Easter Sunday. And then that'd be the only time we talk about death, burial, and resurrection, because he knows how bad he got himself whipped when Jesus went through the death, burial, and resurrection. He did get torn up. I mean, he got whipped in the death, burial, and resurrection. I don't know how everybody's lived in here. I got saved when I was 5 years old, but then I had a long line of years of just some really rough life, just rough. I lived in a home where my mom loved me, my stepdad loved my mom, and so I ended up as one of the children, the whipping boy of the house. So really to the point of abuse, to be honest with you. And I don't blame my stepdaddy too bad because I was a hellion, and I know that. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about when I say hellion? You kind of get what I'm talking about? I don't know how your home was, but my mama thought if she could send me to school, and then they would educate the hell out of me. And it didn't work. I went to the Marine Corps, and they thought they would discipline the hell out of me. And it didn't work. I'd go to church and the preacher would try to preach the hell out of me. How many of y'all been to the altar more than once? They looked for me every revival. They looked for me for every revival to go to the altar because they knew I was jacked up. You know, none of that cleared my issues until Jesus loved the hell out of me. I hope I'm putting it in terms you understand this morning. Because you're not saved because you were pretty and you had money. You're not saved because he just died for you. You're saved because he loved you. And he does love you. Amen? And he will love this junk and crud and bondage out of you this morning. We can't counsel it out of you. Counseling's good, but you can't counsel it out of people. You can't pray it out of them. You can't preach it out of them. You can't discipline it out of them. You can't beat them out of it. You just can't do it. It's going to take the love of God to change your life. So I'm going to give an altar call right now. Here's what it's going to be. I want those that feel like that when we read that scripture out of 1 John 3:8 that says he came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to undo, to untie, to dissolve, and to destroy the works of the enemy. If there's something you're dealing with right now, and I don't care what that issue is, but you feel like it's an attack of the enemy, or you just feel like I've got some issues in my life, or you may be here saying, I am running from God, or I'm away from the Lord, I need to be closer, but I've got these things, and I just don't know if they're going to move. I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to take those things that have been solid objects, he wants to melt them down for you this morning, he wants to boil them up, he wants to get a vapor, blow it away, that when you leave here, and someone says, well, I thought they can think what they want to, you know that you've been changed. Amen. You know you've been changed. Bow your heads for just a moment. Father, I'm asking right now that you give us clarity this morning, this altar call. We believe, Father, people this morning that are here to be set free. They may have come on an invitation of somebody else, but you had another plan in mind from the very foundations. That you saw them this day. You knew their plight, their issue. You knew this altar call was going to happen. You got it. You had it. And this morning, we're just trying to track you. But Lord, I believe this morning that through praise and worship, we opened a door. And we're willing to step through it right now. We believe there's something you want to do in a mighty way in our lives. We believe it's going to come through the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands and the prayer of faith. And we believe you're going to manifest your presence here in this room in Jesus' name. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together, what kind of anointing is up in here today, exponentially in multiplication for all of us. We believe you, Lord, you've got something here to set free. You've got something here to undo. You've got something here to expunge. You've got something here to melt down, boil up, and blow away. We believe you for it today. We believe that the gospel is the good news from the battlefield. And the good news is we're in a battle, but Jesus is Lord. And he's resurrected. And he's taken the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And your battle has been turned because the Lord has entered in it today. And your battle is going to be in your favor because Christ is fighting for you. And you're going to be the more than conqueror because Jesus is with you. And he's going to place you today where his Father already sees you in the body of Christ in heavenly places. Look at me, let me say something to you. Look at me, let me say something. If you're the little toe on the body, according to Ephesians 2:6, you're in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities. Yeah, but I'm the least Christian here. I understand what you're saying, but you are the body of Christ, and the Bible says in the idea of identification, you're in Christ in heavenly places. Amen. You're in Christ in heavenly places. And I'm just going to dare you to read your New Testament, especially Paul's writings of you being in Christ. Say, I'm in heavenly places. Yeah, the Bible says in Christ you're in victory. Not in yourself, but in Christ you're in victory. In Christ you're in heavenly places. In Christ, the Bible says, listen to me, God identified you dead, buried, and resurrected. When Jesus was on the cross, God could see you there. See, we don't wear that very well, because we always look into Him. But until you can identify yourself with Him, He's always going to be Easter. God said, I didn't see Easter. I saw you on the cross when my son was being crucified. I saw you being taken down. The Bible says we were crucified with Christ. Amen? It's a prepositional mentality. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I was buried with Christ. Say, with Christ, I was buried. Yeah, with Christ you were buried. And the Bible says, and when He rose up, the Bible says, and He raised us up with Christ. Now, we don't ever identify there, because we're trying to get Jesus to come up in here right now, and so we can pray to you that we can get some help here. And God said, hang on just a minute. I've already seen you. I saw you on the cross. I saw you dying. I saw you being buried. And when I called my son up, I saw you get up. You kidding me? That's the joy that's in this room right now for somebody, that God's already seen you there. We have two ordinances in our church. One is water baptism, and it represents a death, burial, and resurrection, that you died with Christ and now you're risen with Him. The other one is communion. When Jesus said, you're going to eat my body and drink my blood, the Bible said the people standing around said, well, we like the miracles and the fish sandwiches, but we ain't staying for that. Do you remember? 5,000 in the crowd left because He offered that. He looked at Peter and said, Peter, what you going to do? Peter said, truth is, I don't really know about that blood and that bread stuff. I don't get that. But I know that you've got the words of eternal life. I'm going to hang out with you till I understand it. I know some of y'all think we're a cult because we speak in tongues, or we're charismatic or Pentecostal. Just a quick statistic. Southern Baptists, which I have a lot of friends in Southern Baptists, worldwide are 150 million. Isn't that wonderful? 150 million. Do you know how big the charismatic, spirit-filled community is worldwide? Over 670 million. Almost 750 million. So you're not a part of some little cult somewhere. You're part of something God's doing to move mountains all over this world. Amen. So we don't apologize. You hear us speaking tongues around here. We don't apologize for anointing with oil, because we're going to see God set captives free. In the name of Jesus, bondage is broken, knots untied. Some of y'all got some knots in your life you got to get untied. In my study on this death, burial, and resurrection, one of the things that intrigues me about us charismatics, the Pentecostals, whatever you want to call us, full gospels, is that we think that we got baptized in the Holy Spirit so we could fall down, shake, run around, speak in tongues, and I'm good with all that. But that's not why the Holy Spirit was sent back. Jesus didn't say, I send back an entertainer. He said, I'm sending back a comforter and a teacher. This is what Jesus said. Because I could not. This is the Son of God talking. If you think you're thick-headed, you're okay. Because the Son of God said, I'm sending you back. This is the 16th chapter of John. I'm sending back the Holy Spirit to you. When I leave, I'm sending Him back so He can explain to you the things that I've already told you, and then take things that I couldn't tell you. He's going to take those and he's going to show them to you. In other words, there's some stuff he's going to give you explanation for and other stuff he's going to show you you've never seen before. So being filled with the Spirit is not a denomination. It's not a membership way. It's an anointing that God said that I will put in the church because I don't want it to be destroyed. And that particular church went from 11 to 120 to 3,000 to 5,000. And now the church as a whole, I forget how many millions of people are in the body of Christ. But just out of the one group that just said, we choose to believe in salvation by the blood, and we choose to believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we choose to believe in the baptism in water. So we got three baptisms: salvation, we're baptized in the body of Christ. Water, we're showing that we've been baptized in Christ as a place of commitment, and then we believe in Spirit, being Spirit baptized. So we have that working for us, but my Spirit baptism shouldn't be so I could be better than somebody. It should be that I can better understand the death, burial, and resurrection. One of these things I don't get is how God, when He says, can I share this and we'll take off? And ushers, y'all can get ready if you don't mind. Y'all still okay? Kind of, sort of? I want to go to Ephesians 2. Can I read verse? I'm going to read Amplified today, if y'all don't mind. Even when we were, just the verbiage is so wonderful. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, isn't that all of us? He, listen to this, He made us alive together in fellowship, in union with Christ. He made us alive together in fellowship, in union with Christ. He gave us, listen, He gave us the very life of Christ Himself. The same new life with which He quickened Him. Please hear what the Bible's saying. You've got the same life in you that God used to bring Jesus from the dead. That anointing of power, that life that got Him up, is what got in you when you asked Christ into your heart. Salvation isn't some little thing you do. This isn't the Elks Club. Listen to this. The same new life with which He quickened Him, brought Him to life for. It is by grace, His favor, and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation. Listen to verse 6. And He raised us up together with Him. Now listen closely how I'm saying this so you don't quote me wrong. You're not God, but you're on God level. See right there, some of y'all said, ooh, not me, I'm... Too bad. That sounds like heresy. Listen closely to your Bible. Jesus is at the right hand of God, sitting in all authority. Am I right? Okay. Listen to what the Bible says. Say Jesus at the right hand of God. Okay. Say He's in a God place. Excellent. He made us rise up together with Him and made us to sit down together with Him, giving us, listen to this, joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I shouldn't have to, and no one should have to continually counsel you for sin. Eventually, you ought to get this thing in you that I am in heavenly places in Christ. If you start thinking the death, burial, and resurrection, you'll think yourself above sin. You'll say, how could I do that? I'm like sitting in heavenly places. You're not God, but according to that Bible, you're in the heavenly realms in the Spirit. Wow. Amen. John Osteen said that there was a bully at school, and that bully had a list. John Osteen's dead. It's Joel's daddy. He had a list. And John said, "What you doing with that list?" And that bully said, "This is a list of everybody in this school I'm whipped." John saw his name on there. He said, "You better take my name off of there." And the bully got an eraser and took his name off. Because he wasn't really wanting to fight John. He just had his list. So I'm going to tell you right now, the devil's got a list. He's a bully. And he's probably got your name on it. But what you're going to do when you get home today is say, take my name off your list. You're done bullying me. You're done pushing my family around. Get my name off your list. Amen. Father, we love and we thank you for the ability to...
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.